I'm trying
Love
to get
Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. You are now once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As usual, I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we bring forth the word of God once again. And my guest once again tonight is Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth the word of God. He's going to share with us an inspirational poem first. Then he's going to break the bread of life to us once again on tonight. So you must have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along. We always open up with prayer. I'm asking our listeners, if you would please pray with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What an awesome God we serve. He is worthy to be praised. Why? Because there is none like him in all the earth. He is our God. He is our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and he is worthy of our praise. So I'm asking our listeners, please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight, Heavenly Father, because we know without a doubt that you are truly worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not like man. We thank you that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus praying and lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray and lift up my brother Curtis, who's still in the hospital, or he's getting ready to undergo gallbladder surgery, but we know it's a process. But we are claiming healing for him right now in the name of Jesus, that he would have a testimony, that he would let the world know without hesitation and with holy boldness, to let the world know that it was you who have healed him. Not only him, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land in the name of Jesus. We know that you are still working miracle signs and wonders in Jesus' name for your glory. And Father, we come also lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as only you can, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Father, we know that we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray, Lord, you will move by your spirit on tonight over the airwaves. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up everyone that may be tuned in. Should there be any that's not saved in your son Jesus' name, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your word. They will touch their hearts and prick their hearts, that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and have to be saved in his name. So now, Lord, we just give you the glory, we give you the honor and praise that you are not like man. We thank you that you still have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. You are in total control at all times. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise and ask that you will have your way on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless the listeners. Continue to bless this worldwide ministry that you will be glorified through it is our prayer because we know it's not about us. It's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, money can't buy happiness, but I'm happiest when I can buy what I want. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, money can't buy happiness, but I'm happiest when I can buy what I want. I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Once again, I'm so excited to have Deacon Marvin Cox getting ready to bring forth the word of God. He always shares with us, the listening audience, inspirational poem first. And due to circumstances, he has not been with us for a while, but we give God glory, honor, and praise that he's now back with us on tonight. Again, sharing with us inspirational poems and breaking the bread of life, which is God's word to his people, the listeners, on tonight. So I pray that you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to receive the word. So right now we're going to, instead of going to a music break, I'm going to go right and ask Deacon Marvin Cox if he would go ahead and share with the listening audience his inspirational poem, and then I'm going to ask him if he would go directly into God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I am so excited to have you back on the air with us. Right now I'm yielding this mic to you to share your inspirational poem and also to deliver God's word on tonight. I yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord also for this opportunity to bring forth his word again. Now, the poem that I'm bringing forth tonight is also my testimony, and it's going to tie in with the lesson that the Lord has given me to give to his children tonight. Now, the poem that is going to be brought forth tonight is called An Unwelcome Guest. Worry Worry came to visit me just the other day. And when worry came, he chased my faith and my good health away. He brought some of his relatives. They were too numerous to mention. The first relative I met was his oldest son, hypertension. Now, hypertension was a fugitive on the run from God's law, the most silent and deadliest killer that you ever saw. He said, "Your faith and your love I've come here to test." But that's just the rudeness of an unwelcome guest. Hypertension said, "I didn't come by myself. There's no need to complain. I brought my wife with me. Her name is Migraine." Now, Migraine was a drummer. She pounded all night. She pounded so much, I became sensitive to God's light. Now, hypertension and Migraine will bring you to your knees. And then they introduced their son and daughter, kidney and heart disease. Now, the next one to come, he came in a limo dressed up in a tux. Now, with that old bellyache and nuisance, acid reflux. He said, "The whole family is here, and we ain't no joke. Will somebody please open the door for our granddaddy, the stroke?" You might protest, you may have even resisted, but if a stroke comes to visit you, you will surely be twisted. Now, these illnesses came, and they came in rapid succession. The next one on the list was deep depression. I went to my doctor. He said, "You need to relax." Then he wrote me a prescription for some Xanax. Now, Xanax turned into a monkey who rolled my back. I thought I was having a heart attack. Now, the thing about worry that seems so strange is that we worry about things that only God can change. Now, worry is not that bad, if you were to be fair, if you would take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He would ease your mind and comfort your soul if we stop worrying about things that only He has control. Now, when worry comes to visit you, tell him you sure can't stay, because a positive attitude and faith in God is the only thing that will chase his stressful butt away. Amen. Now, the Lord gave me that several years back, and it applies to my life, because I was recently hospitalized. As I say, the lesson that's being brought forth tonight, it's a sermon, it's a lesson, it's a warning, it's all of those things, because I thought that I was secure in the things that I had been telling people over the years. And one of the main things I would tell people was to move themselves out of the way. And I was not, when the illness came my way, I was not able to move myself out of the way. But we're going to go right into the lesson for tonight. And it's consisting of the entire 23 number of Psalms, and it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a Psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the full waters, still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I've just read unto you the entire 23rd number of Psalms. from the King James Version of the Bible. And may the Lord add a blessing to reading, to hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And he may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Now our topic for tonight is there is no benefit in worrying. And as I begin to contemplate on that subject this evening, I found out that it's a lot of my sisters and my brothers who worry unnecessarily. A lot of Christian brothers and sisters who worry. We as Christians, we worry about everything. And as I go over each verse of the 23rd number of Psalms, you will see why the Lord is telling us, worry, don't worry. Worry avails you nothing. Says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So all of my needs is provided for me by the Lord and through the Lord. Says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So sometimes it says he maketh me. So we as Christians, sometimes we push ourselves so much, and we go to the point where we almost near exhaustion, and the Lord said, he maketh me. In other words, I don't have no choice in this matter, because the flesh will party until it drops. The flesh will go on until it can't go on anymore, but the Lord will give me rest, and that rest is in him. It also says, he leads me beside the still waters. And see, these still waters are the waters that they run deep, but these still waters are the waters they calm. They are very, very tranquil. And see, in this world of turmoil, there's nothing no greater than still water. You can be at peace with yourself. There is tranquility in the still water. So when the world around me is in an uproar, and I'm around those still waters will calm me down. Those still waters will let me know that not to be distracted by all of those disturbing things that is going on around me. Say, he restored my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. See, sometimes we lose out on a lot of things. We become drained because of the troubles of the world. We become to the situation where we feel that we can't go on any further. And in the process of us being drained, sometimes we have to be restored. And see, when the Lord restores you, you become better than new. If you notice anything about restoration, a lot of times when you get something restored, it gets to the point where it is better than new. It's better than what you was, or better than what it was when you first got it. So it says he restored my soul, because sometimes our souls in the course of life and the sojourn that we take, sometimes our soul become weary. Sometimes we lose our direction. Sometimes we just feel like giving up. But God's word, King David was telling us that he, which is the Lord, restored our soul, my soul, excuse me. And see, I want to point that out, because see, that's a personal thing right there. When it involves me or my, then I know that the Lord is dealing with me personally, because we can say ours, but then sometimes people use that as a non-inclusive phrase. They say ours, but they really mean that it's a personal possession of theirs and that they're sharing it with you. But the Lord has given each and every last one of us an individual soul. Just like in the book of Job, it was telling Satan, he said, you can touch his body, but that soul, leave that soul alone, because that soul belongs to me. He said, yea, though I walk, he said, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So following the Lord, you know how sometimes we on that lonely road, and when we on that lonely road, it feels like we're lost. feel like we cannot find our way, feel like we don't see a familiar face. But see, that road of repentance is a very, very lonely road. You'll see a traveler every now and then, but say, lead me in the paths. But see, if you notice, it says it has an S behind it. So there are many directions that you could go in, many roads. We all have the same destination, but we all travel down a different road to get to that destination. And in the process of us going there, so we take different paths to the same destination. But this destination is on the path of righteousness. Say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it's very important. I'm going to come back to that fear, because worry brings on fear. Worry is the opposite of having faith and trust in God, because, see, sometimes we worry so much that we become fearful. And as the poem was saying, it starts a chain reaction of things that will take us away, a chain reaction of negative emotions. So we have to be careful. We say, because the Lord is my protector. It says, although I walk in the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And see, this fear is something that paralyzes us. This fear is something that will not allow us to execute the plan that God has for us. You ever been in a situation in your life where you wanted to do something, but you could not overcome your fear of doing it? But see, the valley of the shadow of death, and I've been there. Excuse me. And I became fearful. And the reason I say that is because I recently, as I was telling you, I was hospitalized for 31 days, and it was basically a self-inflicted thing that I undertook. I should have taken care of it sooner. I should have trusted in God more. But see, this is why it's very important for us not to worry. Because, see, we worry and we forget all about how God has brought us thus far. All right, now we're going to move to, say, for thy rod and thy staff, I will fear no evil, for thy rod, thou art with me. So King David is letting us know that regardless of where I go or what I do, that the Lord is with me. And have you ever been in a situation where, if you don't know the Lord, well, you might have been with one of your parents, and just being there because you knew that they would protect you, say, and regardless, you could hide behind the skirt tails of your mom, or you could hide behind your dad's pant leg, and you knew that whoever, whatever the adversary was at that particular time, would have to travel through your parent in order to get to you, and you felt safe and you felt secure, and you even might have taunted whoever it was that was your adversary at that time and say, no, 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 not today. I got my mother with me. I got my father with me. I got my big sister with me. I got my big brother with me. I have my protector with me. And to back that up, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, we know that this rod is the rod of correction. But see, a shepherd is one who looks over the flock, and we know that the rod as well as the staff are what you would call, they are defensive utensils. They will ward off the wolves. They will keep danger away from you. So we know that our parents, that they have that ability to protect us. And so moving right along. Thou prepared the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now that's a good one right there. So if we go back to number one verse, it said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But now he just took it to that next level. It said, thou prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. So those people that we dine with, those people that we break bread with, the Lord is telling me that we have to be careful in the presence of my enemies. So my enemies are always going to be present. There's going to be someone with a negative thought or something with a negative thought that is going to attempt to knock me off my square. But can you imagine feasting on a well-prepared meal by the Lord and you got all of this turmoil going on around you and you really enjoy the meal because it was prepared by the Lord? Say, thou preparest a table. We know that when you sit down at the table, all the nutritious things are placed before you, like faith, hope, charity, love, sacrifice. All of these things are laid before you. You got, you know, you can kind of like pick your way through because these are the things that will help you to grow spiritually. These are spiritually nutritious things. And so sometimes out there on the battlefield, we need to have a serving of humility because sometimes we get so carried away with ourselves and we become so arrogant that we forget that the Lord is ruling and super ruling and leading us and guiding us to all truth. Sometimes we get so carried away, but every now and then, even in bringing forth the Lord's word, we have to show just a little bit of humility. We got faith on the table too. So all of these things that's laid before us on this table of love is going to be to our benefit. We got patience on that table because sometimes we want to get things done. We want to get it done just like yesterday, and it puts us in a position where we don't wait on the Lord. We go out and we can't never go in front of the Lord. Well, we try to go in front of the Lord because if he's leading us, we can never be before him. So we try to, with our impatience, we try to move ahead of the Lord. But that's not so. So we must learn how to be patient. All of these different things that is on that table, and I mean, I'm more than sure that you could think of several more things that will benefit you. It says, and thou anointest my head with oil. Now when the Lord anoints your head, then he have anointed and appointed you to do whatever task that he wants you to do at that particular time. My cup runneth over. Now we know when the cup runneth over that that is an abundance of things that is in that cup that are good for you, that is good for you, that is of great benefit. And if you go back to Malachi, the third chapter, between that sixth and that eighth verse, when the Lord is saying, I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I want you to think about that cup running over and tie that into what the Lord is saying. But see, the thing about that is that you must be obedient to what it is that he would have you to do. He's not going to, your cup is not going to run over if you're not following him, if you're not letting him be your shepherd, if you're not being humble, if you have not submitted yourself unto him. And see, we know as Christians that we have to be submissive unto the Lord. We have to turn things over to him. We have to come to him as little children. He said, blessed are the children that come to me and forbid them not. We cannot do these things as grown people or as adults. It says, surely Now, after all of these things, the Lord done, he done protected me, he done clothed me, he done fed me, he done all these things that we worried about. He done showed an abundance of love to me, all of these things that we allow worry to snatch out of our hands. The Lord, he has restored us, he done all of these different things, but you know what? We sometimes become so ungrateful that we forget that the Lord is my shepherd. We're forgetting that we have to depend on him. We're forgetting that we have to trust in him. We're forgetting that we shouldn't have any fear concerning these things. And in the process of us being within ourselves, then we lose the evaluation of what the Lord will have us to do. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So even though I may be going through a hard time right now, even though you may be going through a hard time right now, just look around. No, don't look around. Just keep going. Because the Lord says, both of those who grab a hold to the gospel plow and look back, they're not fitting for the kingdom of heaven. But just keep going. And the reason why I say keep going, because guess what? Goodness and mercy is in pursuit of you. They shall follow me. If something is following you, that means that it is pursuing you. And what we got to do sometimes is to just slow down. And in the process of us slowing down, guess what? Goodness and mercy will overtake us. But if we moving so fast and we don't allow these different things to catch up with us, or we try to outrun the truth, we try to outrun our past, we try to outrun all of those negative things that we have done in our life, it says goodness and mercy shall follow me. So if goodness and mercy is following me, I want you to visualize this. All of the things that I have created, all of the uncertain things that I have done to other people, you can imagine that goodness and mercy is cleaning up behind me. Goodness and mercy is telling people he's not as bad as you think he is. Goodness and mercy will follow you according to the deeds that are done in that body. Now, here goes the most important thing. It says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, when you dwell someplace, that means that you will reside there. You will live there. You become a resident of that particular place. So, in the house of the Lord, I mean, I'm not talking about that house over there on Durong Drive, or that house over there on Goodtime Boulevard. I'm not talking about that house. I'm talking about a house where you would be safe, where you would be secure, where you would be loved, where you would have all the ingredients that you need in order to spend time or the rest of your life in eternity with the Lord. Now, this was just the segue tonight unto our lesson, which is our lesson is there's no benefits to worry. And as I said when I opened up, there are so many Christians who worry about everything. And I just wanted you to imagine the picture that you're painting when you say that you're serving the Lord and that he is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider, but then your neighbor see you worrying and complaining about everything. You complain about the weather. You complain about your bills not being paid. You complain about your children. So God's word is telling us not to be anxious about anything. So we're going to move right along. We're going to go over here to the book of Jonah and see what this worry brings about, this anxiety brings about it brings about self-pity. And see, we can't deal with self and call ourselves being children of God. So we deal in self-pity, and see, self-pity will weigh you down. So Brother Jonah, he had went to Nineveh. First, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because most people may not understand the story, but see, God had sent Jonah to Nineveh for one purpose, and that was to bring forth a saving word. That was to bring forth life to the Ninevites, because see, those were some bad boys. And Jonah, they were, the Assyrians and the Israelites were, might as well say that they were mortal enemies. They were feuding. And so sometimes when you are appointed to take good news to somebody that you are in a feud or conflict with, guess what? You don't want to do it. You want to go in the other direction. You don't want them to hear the good news that is coming out of your mouth. But Jonah had a price that he had to pay. It was a consequence for his disobedience. And we know the story about the big fish and 3 days and three nights. If you think about it, it was the same thing that when the Lord laid in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And so Jonah began to wallow in self-pity, because he thought that God had dealt with the Ninevites because he showed mercy. And it began to worry him, and it worried him to the extent that the self-pity, see, he became the guest of honor at his own pity party. And if you throw a pity party, it's only negative things that could come from that. He even got to the point that he wished. Now, could you imagine this, how people get so depressed, they get so despondent, they worry so much that they wish that they were dead. And so the plants and everything that he was going to use as shelter, because he wanted to go, and he wanted to sulk, which is what we do when we begin to worry about things. We think that it's a lack of love in our midst. We forget that there are those that love us that may not respond to our particular need, and in the process of them not responding to our need, it sends us into a tailspin. It brings about a chain reaction of negative emotions. It brings about a chain reaction from withdrawing from the word of God, the will of God, and so forth and on. And we begin to think that no one loves us, even those that are showing love, even those that have been there with us all of this time. We begin to think that we don't have a friend in this world. So moving right along, that is one of the byproducts of worrying. We begin to have self-pity. We begin to deny the power of God. But see, if we go back to the 23rd number of Psalms, we know that every individual need that we had, or that was brought forth in Psalms, God met those needs. He gave us shelter. He gave us food. He gave us water. He gave us protection. He calmed our fears. He told us in his word that fear not. Whatever comes at you, I will be here to protect you. He told me that he had my slack, but the flesh, see, that's one thing that the flesh, if you're not careful, it will do it the best that it can to overpower you. It will do the best that it can to knock you off your square. It will do the best it can to make you lose your belief and your trust in God. So, as I was saying, Jonah, he was wallowing in self-pity. And in the process of you, anybody wallowing in self-pity, number two byproduct is it hardens your heart. It makes you cold. It makes you want to punish people because you're not satisfied with the way that God is dealing with them and not happy about the way that they're dealing with you. So your heart becomes hard and you become insensitive to the things that God wants you to do. You become, you know, you want to punish people. Make them feel bad because you're feeling bad. So God's word is letting each and every last one of us know you should not worry about these things. And see, these, as I say, these hard-hardened power of self-pity, we got to be careful because it will burden you down. And see, in God's word, he says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But we're not going to change that scripture right there, but we're going to say, take your worries to the Lord. We're going to paraphrase. Take your worries to the Lord and leave them there. Because, see, if you take them there, but see, a lot of us take them there, and then we go right back and pick them up. Say, Lord, well, you know that this, I need to stop doing this. Lord, take this from me. But then next opportunity we get, we go back and we retrieve that which we have given to the Lord. And 9 times out of 10, it's much worse than it ever was. It becomes an albatross around our neck. It begins to bring us down, mind, body, and spirit. If you notice the progression of things in the poem that the Lord gave me tonight, okay, start off with worry. And then we got high blood pressure. And then we got migraine headaches. Then it's just a gateway for kidney and heart disease. And then we get a stomach ache because our acid is overproducing. And then we have a stroke. And then after we get a stroke and we become helpless or more helpless than what we used to be, we begin to go into depression. Then we go to the doctor and we get something for that depression, and we become hooked on opioids. So if you notice, all of that because we didn't tell worry to take a hike. So that's why there is no benefit to worry. And I'm going to get to some of the things that the Lord has given me to share with you tonight. You know, it was a king. And because he could you imagine a king pouting because he didn't have his way? And then when his wife went and got that which he wanted, it made him feel better. But I'm telling you, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, now is not the time to be fretful. Now is the time for each and every last one of us to stand tall in the Lord, to do what it is that we have us to do, to go forward, not to faint, not to be discontent with the life that the Lord has given us, because there's a lot of us, we worry about how things used to be. We worry about all the money that we used to have in our pockets, and now we're not even capable of rubbing 2 nickels together. But see, all of these things are happening for a reason. If I keep the Lord first in my life, if I keep letting people know despite the problems and difficulties that I'm going through at this particular point in time, if I just let people know and I keep the Lord first, they're going to wonder about that. Because there was a time when people would tell me, you know, you're always smiling. Or I probably told you, you're always smiling. It seems like nothing worry you. But see, that's the presence of God right there. But the absence of God is to worry, is to be despondent, is to lose trust, to lose faith, to lose all of these things. So we've got to keep God present in our life. Now I'm going to read to you from Matthew 6:24. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. But see, the word anxious was where worry is substituted for the word anxious. What you would eat or what you would drink. And we go back to 23rd number of Psalms and say, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. So we're not supposed to worry nor about your body. Wow. But what about this? What about this ailment that I got? Lord, where my son and my daughter? Believe it or not, whatever you're going through is just a temporary thing to get you to the point where you can be with me. You must go through this. But see, nobody wants to suffer for the Lord. So any ailment that come along, we worry about it. Say, don't be worried about your body, because it's not your body, it's God's body. You say, I am the master of my body temple. So if I'm the master of my body temple, that means that certain things I have control over. Because if you are the master, then you are the one that is in charge. But we begin to put impurities in our body and ingest things that we're not supposed to ingest, because God said he made everything, and it was good. Everything he made, he said he looked, and it was good. But see, the thing about that is when you take the fun out of fun, or you begin to, you know, the herbs of the field is medicine and those, and they're still discovering, if you notice different cultures around the world, the diet that they have is beneficial. Some people, it's beneficial to their eyes. Some people have a low cholesterol diet, and it's good for their cardiovascular system. So say it was good, but when we begin to do things in excess, you know, like I'm going to just use this, and I'm trying to be nice. Say if it's like drinking. One of the disciples had an ulcer. And in the process of him having that ulcer, he would drink a little bit of wine. But see, at the time, the wine was serving as a coating. But see, when you do that and you do it in excess, then what happens? You become a drunkard. So I'm just going to use that, because anything that becomes a habit and you do it excessively, it becomes an addiction. When it becomes an addiction, then it becomes detrimental to you. Okay, we're going to move to Matthew 11:28. And it reads, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So those people that are worrying, take it to the Lord. You could rest in the bosom of Abraham. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord is saying, you know, come to me. You know, that's a wonderful invitation that has been presented to us. But see, we worry about everything, and that worry don't bring us closer to God, but it takes us further away from God. All right, Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. So those illnesses and those problems and calamities that we're having right now, nothing is impossible for God to handle. And we must remember that. But see, when you're dealing with the flesh, it becomes dominant, because the flesh wants to take over. And there's been so many of us out there who have allowed our flesh to take over. And then later on, when we come back to ourselves, the prodigal son did the same thing. It says, what did he do? It said, when he came to himself, So for a while, he had abandoned that good faith that he had in God. And he wanted to go out there and see how the other side lived. So he began to worry about not being able to do that and to execute that. And Jeremiah 17, chapter 7 and 8 verse, they said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts is the Lord. So, as I was saying earlier in the presentation that God has given me, worry brings about a lack of trust. Worry brings about fear. And we begin to think that we can do God's job, but we cannot do God's job. It says, okay, it says, here's like a tree planted by the water that sends off its root by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. See, God's word is letting us know, do not panic. Don't panic over your situation, because if you got a good root system, nothing will be able to move you or alter you from the position that you're in. It took you all of these years to build up that foundation. But God is saying, his word in Jeremiah is saying, don't worry about it. And say, and does not fear. All right, it says, sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for the leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So that's a very important thing right there, saying that whenever we have worry, we allow worry to wither us up on the vine, then we stop bearing fruit. But that tree that's by the river that has that good root system, it will forever produce fruit. Its leaves will remain green. That's why a lot of times you see people, elder people, and you look at them and you say, wow, they don't look like they're 90. They don't look like they're 80. They don't, you know, they look good for their age. And why do we say they look good for their age? Why? Because they didn't allow themselves to wither on the vine. And the Lord is saying, do not be anxious. Psalm 56:3. It said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And see, we're talking about that fear. We're talking about worry. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about depression. Because, see, we're not supposed to lean to our own understanding. When the calamities of life come up against you, then that's a good time. See, we depend on people, but when those calamities come up on us, we forget all about that our relationship with our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our children, all of these relationships that we have established with people are only temporary. On this side, anyway. But we want to live forever. We want to get to the other side. And then we must be able to do what it is that God will have us to do. So, all right. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord will be with you all. And as I was saying, a lot of times when we go through our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, we feel that those people who love us have abandoned us. We feel that nobody cares for us. And I'm telling you, that's a very toxic combination. That's a combination that will cause you to withdraw completely away from God. So, next time the Lord bless me to come on the air again, I will be bringing Worrying Part 2, because I see that the time is well spent. And may God bless you, and may he ever keep you in his thoughts and in his prayers, as we hear frequently. But see, God, he knows us. He made us, and he knows all about us. And I thank you for the privilege of your time this evening. And I'll now turn you over until the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that awesome word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. I am so glad that you said you're going to do part two, because that's as the Reverend, the late Reverend Eddie Franklin used to say, he was the pastor at the River Towers Apartments where I used to, I was the minister of music. When we had a message such as this on tonight, he would always say, there's a lot of meat on that bone. And so there's a lot of meat on that bone that you just brought through the word on tonight. So I'm so glad that you're going to be bringing part two. And for the listening audience, to hear part two of this message, you want to tune in next Saturday night, not this coming Saturday, but the first Saturday in September, which will be September the 7th. You want to tune in September the 7th on Saturday night and listen for part two of this message of which Deacon Marvin Cox just brought to us on tonight. Part one, there is no benefit in to worrying. See, worrying is a sin, and we should not be sinning against God, even when it comes down to worrying. And that's a trick of the enemy. He wants us to get off our track, and he wants us to lose our faith and our hope and our trust in God. And we do that when we start to worrying. That lets God, that tells God, in other words, that we don't trust him. We trust our flesh. But we need to learn how to continue to lean and depend on God, because we know God's word is true. And just like Deacon Marvin Cox said, the word of God says, cast all thy cares upon me, because I care for you. And it does us no good to take our burdens to the Lord and pray at the altar or at home, and when we get above our knees, we go right back to worrying. See, that's why it's a sin. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. Because you know when you pray and you don't worry, that you are trusting God, you know he's going to handle the situation. So we just thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox. I am so grateful that that God has raised you up off of your sick bed, and he has allowed you to come back over this airway to bring inspirational poems to the listeners as well as myself, and share awesome messages from the word of God, just like you did on tonight. So I know that I was blessed by this word on tonight, and I pray that the listeners were blessed as well. So you continue to stand on the wall, continue to teach, and do what God has called you to do, just like you're doing tonight, through sharing his word to his people. So I know that someone else was blessed by this message on tonight other than myself. So I want you listeners to please spread the news to your friends and neighbors and co-workers, even your ministry. Let them know that Deacon Marvin Cox will come back on September the 2nd, 7th, the 7th of September, first Saturday in September. He will be bringing forth part two of this message from tonight. So Deacon Marvin Cox, once again, I want to thank you, and I thank God that he has healed you again, and he is doing a mighty great work through you. So be encouraged on tonight. Your work on earth is not done. So we just see that through what God has brought through his word through you on tonight for his people. So right now we're just going to close out. We're going to leave it right there. And we're looking forward to hearing the part two on September the 7th at 8 p.m. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to heal his body, continue to strengthen him and anoint him anew and afresh, so that he can stand on your word and declare your word over the airways and everywhere he go, wherever you lead him, that he will share the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is healing to the nation. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word has gone forth on tonight. We pray, Lord, and we know that it has not gone out void. We pray, Lord, that it has reached those that need to hear this word. It is our prayer that should anyone listening on tonight who is not saved in your Son Jesus' name, that after hearing this word on tonight, we will open their mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be saved in his name. So we bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. And Father, we thank you for every listener. We ask that you will continue to bless them, grant them the desires of their hearts. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, because your word is truth. We thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie, you cannot fail, you cannot change. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is still in your hands, and you sit high and you look low. Your eyes are in every place. So we just bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise on tonight. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the word for tonight. Again, you want to tune in the first Saturday in September to hear part two of this message coming from Deacon Marvin Cox. So until then, continue to know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me.